I'd like you to take your Bibles for a few minutes. We won't spend a long time, but we do want to take a few minutes to look at the book of Acts together, Acts chapter 1. Right before we left our church in Mexico, we began preaching through the book of Acts. And I'd like to take a minute to see some of the things that we find here in the first chapter, and we're going to be looking at a couple verses in chapter 2 as well. And as we do that, I would like you to think a moment in your mind and to imagine what the ideal church looks like. So you're thinking about the ideal church, what you would define as the perfect church. What would it look like? Maybe some of you are thinking of Westside. Well, I hope so. I hope at least some of you are, right? But as you think about it, what are the things that would go into making that church the ideal church? And I think that many times as we think about church, we think of many things. We think of maybe the types of ministries that it should have, the activities that it should provide. Sometimes we think about a building. Sometimes we think about a style of preaching. Sometimes we think about a style of music. Sometimes we think about a discipleship program. Sometimes we think about different elements. And yet many times when we think about the church, the things that come to our mind that are crucial to the church is not what the scriptures tell us are crucial to being a church and a healthy church. And as we look at Acts chapter 1, obviously in Acts 1, we have in verse 8, one of those famous missionary verses that most of us know and could probably quote. In verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." And it's interesting as we look at this verse that at the beginning of this verse, we find Christ making a declaration, revealing something about the Christian life and what it should look like. Most of the time when we preach Acts 1:8, we preach it as a command. We preach it as if Jesus was commanding us to go out and be witnesses. But the interesting thing about Acts 1:8 is that it is not a command. It is simply a declaration of something that will be happening in the lives of believers. If you look at it again, it says, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Obviously, I think we can find an implicit command in this passage. But what we actually find is a declaration. And what that leads me to gather is that evangelism and sharing the gospel should be something that comes about in the natural course of the Christian's life. It should be something that is such a normal part of our life that it doesn't have to be commanded. It just happens naturally. We should be witnesses in the same way that because we're humans, we eat and we drink and we breathe. In the same way, because we are Christians, we should be witnesses. And this is something that is sometimes quite overwhelming to many of us, thinking about sharing the gospel with other people. Many times we're afraid of the questions that are going to be asked, and we don't know how we're going to be answering those questions. Yet as we think about what we are called to do, we're not called to be apologetics professors that can answer all the questions that an unbeliever would have. We're not all called to perhaps preach a sermon in some context where there are a lot of unbelievers around us. But what we're called to be is witnesses. And witnesses simply share the experience that they have had, things that have happened to them, things that they have seen, things that they have heard. And there is no doubt that those of us who are children of God can share with other people the experience that we have had with Christ. And it should be something natural in our Christian living that we share Christ with other people. And so we have to ask ourselves this evening, when was the last time we shared the gospel with somebody? Do you remember the last time you had a significant gospel conversation with an unbeliever? Do you remember sometime when perhaps you invited somebody into your home or you went to Starbucks with them and you sat down with them and you shared the gospel with them? Sometime when you took the time to establish a relationship with an unbeliever because you wanted to be light and salt in their life? Can we look back and think about that last time when we shared the gospel with someone? I think that many of us would have to look back and think, and it might be a long time since that happened. It might be weeks, months, years. And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Because it should be the natural course of the Christian life that we are witnesses of Christ, that we share that which has happened to us. Many times when we do not share what Christ has done for us, it could come down perhaps to many things, but two things that we could mention this evening. One, that we have not actually had that personal experience with Christ. And you say, well, hold on a second. We've been here many years in a good Baptist church. Undoubtedly, we're believers, but the fact that you've attended a Baptist church for many years does not mean that you've had a personal experience with Christ. It only means that you have a tradition. Many times we don't share our personal experience with Christ because we've lost our sense of wonder about what Christ has done for us. We become accustomed to these great truths that we find in Scripture, to the fact that Christ came from heaven as God's Son, and he took on humanity, and he lived a perfect life and died on the cross for us and rose from the dead. And these things are truths we become so accustomed to knowing that we've lost our sense of wonder about it. When we're excited about something, we don't have any problem talking about it. But when we lose our excitement, when we lose our wonder, then we don't know what to say about it. I mean, it's sort of like the Atlanta Braves, right? I mean, nobody's talking about the Atlanta Braves right now. It's embarrassing. But you know, that happens many times in our Christian life as well. We've lost our sense of wonder. We've become so accustomed to thinking that we are believers and to thinking about these great truths in Scripture that we don't talk about it, and we are not witnesses. And yet there's one other element here that I want to highlight for you in verse 8. The beginning of verse 8 is crucial to the second part. How are we going to be witnesses? Why are we going to be witnesses? Because we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the crucial factor that comes into our lives that allows us to effectively be witnesses is when we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, if we are believers, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but many of us don't have the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. We need the Spirit's power. We can't have the Christian life being lived out in our lives the way it should be lived out if we don't have the Holy Spirit's power. Now flip over for a moment to the end of chapter 2, because at the end of chapter 2, we find a description of what it looks like when the Holy Spirit really is acting powerfully through our lives and in our lives. And in verse 40 of chapter 2, we begin to read, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And there we have a perfect description of what the church should look like and what the Christian life should look like if the Holy Spirit is acting powerfully in our lives. So what do we find? Well, first of all, we find that people are being witnesses. People are testifying. And as people testify with the power of the Holy Spirit, people are being saved and baptized and added to the church. And that should be the natural course of Christianity. Maybe we won't see 3,000 people come to Christ in one day, but it should be something natural and normal in a church where the Holy Spirit is working for unbelievers to hear the gospel and to be changed by the gospel. That should be normal. Should be normal that people are devoted to the apostles' doctrine or devoted to God's word. That should be something normal. People that seriously study God's word. Fellowship, it mentions here. Fellowship, spiritually significant interaction with other believers. Oftentimes, as we think about our interaction with other believers, we find that it's not really spiritually significant. I mean, we may interact and we might get together with them, and then we end up talking about the same things that everybody else talks about. And we might just not use some of those four-letter words that they use, but the topics are the same topics. I mean, it's our job, and it's our children, and it's our house, and it's our car, and it's sports, and I don't know what you ladies talk about, but those are the things men talk about, right? But where is the spiritually significant interaction? Many times, it's simply not there. A fourth element that we find here is that they were devoted to prayer. And one of the things that God has been teaching us over these last several months is the need for prayer. And the reality is that many times we don't have the power of the Spirit in our lives because we do not invest time in the presence of the Spirit. We do not spend time with God. We have to ask ourselves, when was the last time we really had a significant prayer session? I mean, when was the last time we took an hour to pray? An hour? I mean, like 60 minutes? Yeah, like 60 minutes to pray? I mean, that's a long time. Yes, it is a long time. It's about the time that we spend watching a program on television. That doesn't seem long, does it? And yet, because we don't spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. And we don't see this happening in our lives. About a year ago, in our own church, our own little church in Mexico, I did a survey in January. And I asked the people of the church to share with us about their spiritual life, what it really looked like. It was an anonymous survey, so they didn't have to dress it up. And I came away with a few conclusions. First is that we don't read our Bibles. I mean, we talk about it, but we don't do it. And as I found surveys of American churches, I found out that that's pretty normal here in the United States as well. We don't spend time in prayer. I mean, we pray for our meals, and maybe we kind of, you know, do a drive-through prayer session with God, but we don't really pray. Many times we don't share the gospel, at least not very constantly. Those were some of the takeaways that I found in this survey. And so we began to change things up. Because if we don't have prayer, serious study of God's word, if we don't have spiritually significant interaction with other believers, if we're not sharing God's word with other people, I mean, these are the basic elements of Christianity. So if we don't have these things, we really, folks, do not have true biblical Christianity. I mean, we might have a tradition and we might have a religion and we might have kind of this little club that we're a part of and that we enjoy being a part of. But if we're not reading our Bibles, if we're not praying, if we're not sharing the gospel, if we're not interacting with other believers, then we don't have Christianity. And many times we have to kind of refocus and get back to these things. These things that are basic to our Christian living. And so in our church, we began to make several changes, trying to get people involved in serious, significant Bible study and being involved in prayer. We mentioned those prayer times. There's a picture there. Every time the church gets together, we have a prayer time, and we break up into little groups, two people, sometimes three, if there's an odd person out, and one of those people shares a prayer request, the other shares a prayer request. Then they pray together. And then throughout the week, they take those prayer requests, and they pray for them. And that allows spiritual interaction to be taking place as well. We're trying to emphasize evangelism. That's why we started preaching through the book of Acts, because these are things that we need. And many times we sort of get confused about what Christianity really is. A few moments ago, I asked you to picture the ideal church. What did you picture in your mind? I wonder how many of us really thought about Bible, prayer, sharing the gospel, interacting with other people. I mean, did we think about those things? Maybe we didn't. And if we didn't, perhaps that's an indication of how we've kind of drifted away from what true biblical Christianity should look like and how we need to get back to some of these really basic elements. and get back to reading our Bible seriously and praying. And as we have a personal walk with God and a personal experience with God, that will lead us to want to talk to other people about it. And we'll talk to other believers about it. And we'll talk to other unbelievers about it. And then we'll begin to see what we find here in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 that is so exciting. We find this explosive growth. And maybe we won't ever see 3,000 people being saved in one day, but we should be seeing it on a normal basis. Many times it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't happen because we don't share the gospel. It doesn't happen, and we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit because we're not spending our time in the Bible, and we're not spending our time in prayer. And so as you think about your church, I would just encourage you with some of the lessons that God is teaching us in Mexico as well. That we not get caught up in all those other things. Some of those things are really wonderful and they're good, but those things aren't the essence. Kind of allow God's word to blow away kind of maybe the fog and let Scripture really show what is essential. And then we'll see the gospel going forth. And we'll see, yes, Jerusalem being reached. You'll see the people around you coming to Christ. And you'll see how your church will be involved in reaching Judea and Samaria, the areas around you. And we'll also see how the gospel is going forth even to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's the program that God has put in place. And many times we get it really complicated. Many times we get confused about it. But it's not that hard. It's not that complicated. It just requires that we do what Christ wants us to do. So we would appreciate your prayers for us, that we would always be able to keep our eyes on what is really important. And we'll pray for you, that you also can see that powerful work of the Holy Spirit, that this community would be reached through God's word.